Hello, I'm Paddy O'Donnell, and this is The Cromologist from Farrow and Ball, the podcast where paint and colour meet life. Today on The Cromologist, I'm out and about because my guest today has her home on the water. The wonderful Keris Matthews is a songwriter, author, and broadcaster. And when she's not sharing music from around the globe, or poetry and food recipes on the radio, she might be found writing a children's book. She said her happiest day would be to find a meadow, light a fire, cook a big meal, and play her guitar. And who could resist all of that? So without further ado, ship ahoy, and we're about to hop on a boat and go and meet Keris. Well, here we are, bobbing about. What's that book, Three Men and a Boat, by Jerome K. Jerome? And it's a typical sort of slightly grey, flat day. British weather doing its usual.
Yeah, so it's kind of work in progress.
We're like an island here, so it's a winter lake. So
and good back. For birds, presumably.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so we'll sit here and I believe it's got skylark in that marsh.
So everything's very calm here, isn't it? You were having a sort of off-white moment or white moment everywhere.
Well, the plan is to put like gold wallpaper here. You know, like loads of peacocks and, you know, stuff all over the ceiling and the wall.
This is very Charleston Grey in here, isn't it? It's earthy.
Yeah, it's a bit like clay.
But I love the colour of your sofa. The linen of that sofa is really nice.
Thank you.
So here we are. We've actually hopped off the jetty. I nearly fell in, so I'm quite clumsy. I'm quite clumsy on the water.
I wouldn't fall in right now. It's
no,
a bit
I nearly did.
Strong.
Seriously, I slipped.
Did you?
Your husband looked slightly panicked.
Bet he did. He wouldn't go in after you.
No, I know. So if I swam here, so I'm slightly damp. And I'm drying off in Keris's front room. And it's
slight
beautiful.
Colour of blue around your gills.
Slight colour of blue, slight stench of
mud.
But we're in this beautiful sort of room looking out across the river and it's just calm. It's a very calming place. I feel very relaxed.
Do you really?
Yeah,
I'm glad
do.
You feel calm. Now, I love the colour of nature the most. And so if you can sort of start with that, then that's a good place.
You're in a kind of earthy coloured top, aren't you? Like a pale stone.
Right now I'm wearing what I can put on easily because I've got an arm in a plaster.
I know, so you poor thing. What happened?
I really wish it was very exciting.
Oh, make it up then. Make
really? Up. Okay, so I do love a bit of rock climbing. So I was doing this multi-pitch 7A and I slipped and whacked this against the rock and broke my ulna and radius and put titanium in it last Thursday.
Oh, no, you got titanium in it?
Yeah.
Ow.
I'm going to have a very strong right fist. Let's move on to colours.
Let's move on. So, Keris, thank you for letting us into your wonderful home. So we've asked you to choose four colours on particular parts of your life, so from childhood through to youth, defining decade and where you are now. So do you have a colour that has strong memories or evokes strong memories from your childhood, early childhood?
Absolutely, yes. It screams dark green. So studio green-ish kind of style. Really, really dark green. My mum, absolute firecracker, right? She's from Neath, brought up in working class, council house, all the rest of it, but could turn her hand at pretty much anything. Super intelligent and basically made us wear dark green for all of our lives. Handmade pinafores with dark green polar necks in
fantastic.
That ribbed jumper kind of vibe. So when I think about my childhood, all I can think about is dark green handmade clothes by my mum.
So was that out of necessity that she was so clever with her hands and making clothes for you all? I'm kind of more curious about why always dark green.
Yeah, well, her dad was a carpenter.
Okay.
And I know he was also really passionate about knowing how things work and building things and fixing things. So she kind of admired that as well. Dark green, because she loved dark colours, like really loved them, still does love them. She's not shy at all. And I think she sort of was very, very practical. That has to come into it as well. And maybe it was cheap. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe there's just
nobody else got a dark
cloth.
Green for
everybody
children.
Everybody was buying the red, orange and yellow. And
we didn't have pink dresses, that's for sure.
Bolts of dark green.
Dark
cheap.
Green or dark brown
right,
velvet.
Okay.
It was just the 70s.
See, dark brown velvet. Yeah. That's got a Gucci vibe, hasn't it? You say trouser suit with big lapels and flares.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, from the 80s. Yeah. Remember that with satin nice. Shirts down open to the sternum.
I love dark green. Actually, there's no evidence of dark green here. Okay.
Outside, you'll see a lot of dark green. Because I think as well, I mean, obviously, there's the connection with the idea of forests and yeah. mystery and nature and trees and canopies and, yeah. So there's all that as well behind it.
Yeah, because we're looking at here where you are now, and there's a lot of dark green still. I mean, it's a flat day, so we're looking at, and there's kind of, even on the bark of the trees, you know, they give off this kind of dark green.
I love
you know,
moss. But then moss there's some really, lime greens in moss, but ultimately in all the creases.
Well, all those tones of greens together are what's so beautiful.
I think that's what it is, what I like about certain colours, and especially dark green. It is the natural world.
Yeah.
It does sort of neutralise, can be a neutraliser, and certainly allow you to hide from the more sort of frantic human-made world. The other reason I was thinking about dark greens was leeks. So, again, you know, growing up, I'm so lucky to have been brought up in South Wales, bilingual, Welsh language school and everything. But that also meant, like, March the 1st was a massive day, St. David's Day, you know, and he's an amazing character, because so interesting. He'd say, you know, just look after the small things, which is ultimately quite comforting at the moment, as the world goes absolutely ballistic. But there's a story of him as well, like he would be really actually quite boring a person, I think, very austere basically, and all of his followers had to be austere as well and just work super hard to be close to God, right? So the story goes that some local lords of the area wanted to pull him off the short and narrow road,
right,
and sent naked women running down the hill to try and turn their heads, to tempt them. And apparently, so goes the story, didn't work. But again, all these stories of fields, all these stories of, you know, the fields of leek, which is why leek becomes an emblem for Welsh people as well. All of it is dark green. Even the daffodil with the dark green stalks, you know, it's just green, isn't it? How green is my valley as well? Just green, and especially dark green, just seems to sum up my childhood.
I mean, Wales to me is green, but you're wearing a dark green hat, aren't you? In fact, you're a bit camo. Are you going out sort of in the hedgerows hunting, shooting, fishing?
I don't know, I'm kind of vegetarian, so no, but I do like a bit of camo. I always have loved camo. I was laughing just yesterday because it was a Radio 2. They had John Squire from Stone Roses and Liam Gallagher on as guests in the Zoe Ball breakfast show, and they were both wearing camo. It must be like a 90s kid thing, you know. If you were at 20-something in the 90s, you would love your camo jackets or your khaki jackets.
I love camo, and I've got a camo suede jacket. It's like a bell-staff-shaped jacket.
Yeah.
That I bought in the sale about 25 years ago.
Question is, do you walk differently when you wear it?
No.
Do you start skanking?
Oh, you meant to strut?
Skanking.
Oh, do you? You know, maybe I'm not conscious of it.
Pretend you've got a pistol in your pocket.
No, I'm too wet. I'm too wet. I really am too wet for that.
Thing is, I took forever trying to find the right green for outside for the conservatory. And in the end, it was some kind of dark olive.
We have an archive colour called Mere Green, which is like a really deep teal, which is almost identical to that. That's the Mere Green.
Oh, gosh.
Do you not think that's pretty spot on?
Do you usually carry wads of paint samples? No. It's not even small, they're like about...
Have you not got one of these?
No, not all that
right,
size.
In the post.
You call that a paint sample?
So we're moving on to your second choice.
Yeah.
And this is the colour of your youth. Now, were you a good girl or a bad girl?
Jeez. I don't like thinking back to youth much because I was very inconsistent and contrary, and it was a wide old world, and there's this urge in you as a youth to go out and try and fix what you think is wrong, even though you might be 15 years of age, you know. But there's this fire in your belly to go out there, no matter if it hurts yourself, no matter if it hurts people around you, just this fire and this will in you to act. And so the colour for my youth is going to be rectory red or a fiery kind of red is what I always think about in youth. But there's more than just the sort of like emotional aspect of that active bright colour, because also as a youth, one place that I did find some kind of comfort was in history. I've always loved history. I think it's trying to figure things out. Why is the world like this? Why are we like this? Why is this world, this layer that we happen to be living in, this way? And the only answers we can find is what's happened before, right? That led to here. And so I'd go to St Fagan, which is this folk museum in Cardiff. And again, it was these dark, rich, saturated reds on the wall or on the sides of the houses. And you can see bright, you know, these old stone houses that were in these deepest reds. And so there's those two elements. I'll go for rectory red because it's a strange old red as well. It's kind of got a blue behind it.
It has got a bit of blue. And this will probably only resonate with British listeners, but almost a pillar box red. You know, there's no orange tone through it. It's got some heft.
It has, and it goes great with books, collections of books on black shelves. You put your rectory red on your wall and then you get some black shelves and you fill it full of all your collections of books. And even the smallest modern house, you've got yourself your own library that right there. It's definitely in my sort of office. Rectory red across all the walls. And like with my, I've put a bit of brinjal as well and a bit of black. You're probably like horrified on my colour choices. But it's my library, you know, and they're full of my music books and my CDs and my reference books and stuff like that. And it's just, I love it because it feels a little bit like those old cottages. It's just old and heavy and it's got substance.
And it's kind of interesting, you know, using those strong colours, because obviously you have that strong sort of the chapel.
Yeah.
In where, you know, which is kind of puritanical, isn't it? You know, it's kind of...
Yeah.
But so strong colours with that kind of religious strength within society as well.
Well, two things. When I used to go to chapel three times on a Sunday.
Did you? Oh, yes. My goodness.
Yes. And we weren't some Puritans. We were the Baptists. Alcohol flowed quite freely, in my memory anyway. Certainly it was real wine every Sunday with communion, taking communion. And it was a lot of fun.
I know why you went three times, because there's real wine.
Well, you know, my mum used to take us. I'm not saying anymore. But the second thing with red, and again with chapels and with my upbringing and my grandma's house, which has been a huge influence on me. Do you remember the carpets, Turkish red?
Yes.
Okay, so there's these dark red, mostly dark red, but with these sort of geometric patterns and tendrils and stuff built into it. It's called Turkish red. She had a runner of Turkish red throughout her bungalow and then her collection. So she was quite unusual. This is on my dad's side, that she travelled. So she had little gondolas that lit up on her Welsh dresser and an ostrich egg and an African lady in ebony and a seashell that would sound
like
the
sea. Is it conch?
Yeah, it's conch. Yeah. But the Turkish red, and you'd find Turkish red in chapels as well that used to roll, and then it would, in Baptist chapel, you used to roll back this dark red carpet and it would reveal a removable piece of floor, and then it would be the bath where you'd be dunked, proper dunk, right, okay, in a white sheath. So okay. I watched my mum get dunked, you see.
Have you been dunked?
Not like that, actually. Okay. No, I'm just enough. I haven't thought about that.
You've got your own dunking now.
Yeah, ideally not going to dunk today. But yeah, interesting. Red, bright red.
Actually, we're seeing probably less a rectory red, but almost those kind of slightly winey Bordeaux reds.
Yeah.
So we have a colour called preference red, or brinjal to a degree. And people are using those really beautiful with kitchen cabinetry, but actually almost layering that kind of red note with lovely earthy pinks on the walls. So those kind of winey reds and earthy pinks together are really beautiful. It's a really nice combination. This is a conch shell. It is conch, isn't it? Not conch. Yeah. It's conch, isn't it?
Well, I say conch. Isn't it weird how it works?
And it's really weird listening to you while I've got the shell on my ear as well, because that sounds so sort of... It's kind of mono. Everything's in mono. That's so lovely.
But I'm looking at all the names now. What's the funniest name, do you think? Dead salmon's quite funny. Mouse's back is pretty evident because it does look like the colour of a mouse. I had a big disaster with India yellow.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Oh. I painted this room, we're in India yellow, the whole lot.
And I walked in. What happened?
I walked in and I was like, stop painting.
So my lovely new best friend, Keris.
Hey.
We're moving on to your defining decade. I mean, that's probably quite a hard challenge. Was it quite an easy challenge or a hard challenge? Because you've accomplished so much in your lifetime. So to actually kind of go, this is the 10 years that are kind of pivotal or really key for me.
Well, actually, I didn't think too long about it. And it's
why
really,
not?
No, because I didn't even think that there would be an option of what is the defining decade, which is quite interesting because usually I spend my whole life just not thinking back and not wanting to be defined by any kind of particular decade. I mean, but I just instantly went to think it would be the sort of 90s, probably, because that is your one can say that is pretty much where you find what you do in life, right? Between the ages of your mid late 20s and your mid late 30s. Would you think that?
And for listeners, when did you start Catatonia? So,
well, I started it actually quite early on. I was 19 when I first started the band. There was just two of us, but then we weren't an overnight success by any means, but we started hitting the sort of charts and stuff a good several years later, so it would have been from my mid-20s on, basically getting success with the band. But I mean, I'd always been obsessed with music since I was a child, but getting to your sort of 20s and then your 30s and being able to sustain your life around making music or talking about music or, you know, playing music, that got established in the 90s, I would say. So I picked that as the defining kind of decade. And for that, are you ready? It's going to be more dark colours. It's like, do you remember the Fast Show as well? Do you remember there was a skit in the Fast Show? I loved the Fast Show. I still do. I love the writers anyway. Black. Do you remember that?
So there was an artist. I remember Caroline Ahern with Scorchio.
Oh, I love Caroline. She was just an amazing brain. Love you, Caroline. Anyway, Black then. So the skit in Fascia with Black is there's this artist, and whatever he ends up doing, he'll start writing a drawing or painting a really beautiful scene, and then suddenly it turns black, and it just goes black. I mean, it's just this tortured soul, basically, and wherever he goes and whatever he does, it turns black. But for me, my day-to-day life was on tour, and it all began, really, the reason you were out and about all day long and doing all the things that you were doing all day long was the black moments on stage, you know? So just it really burns quite deeply, the memory of blackness.
I loved it when you said black, because what's that, the opening kind of verse of Under Milkwood, and you've recorded that, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
That blow black.
Crow black. Yeah. Bible black. Fishing boat bobbins.
But can you just say that as you are reading Thomas? Give the heft that I can't deliver.
I will, but let me get it so I can do it properly.
Oh, okay.
I'd love to. Let me see if I've got a copy. Come on.
Do you want me to help?
No, I'm good.
Is this the opening part of Under Milkwood? Read for us by the wonderful Keris Matthews. How exciting, everybody.
To begin at the beginning. It is spring, moonless night in the small town, starless and Bible black, the cobble street silent, and the hunch quarters and rabbit's wood limping invisible down to the slow black, crow black, fishing boat bobbin sea. The houses are blind as moles, though moles see fine tonight in the snout in velvet dingles, or blind as Captain Cat there in the muffled middle by the pump and the town clock, the shops in mourning, the welfare hall in widow's weeds, and all the people of the lulled and dumbfound town are sleeping now.
Oh my God. Thank you.
There's loads of colours in that. I've just realised, you know, colours and textures, like, you know, the blind as moles. You imagine all these, like, little one, two up, two down kind of houses. And then the velvet dingles. And what we were talking about, the cracks and the crannies always go down to dark green or dark black, don't they? Or dark velvet.
It's so beautiful, isn't it? Because you visualise everything.
I've had such joy going through the works of Dylan Thomas over the last few years.
So, I mean, you're talking about touring and everything, and obviously I'm obviously no backstage hand person, But you have that scaffolding, don't you? You have that huge drops of black broadcloth and stuff and everything.
Blackouts everywhere. Yeah. But also within the blackouts, on occasion, you'll have like holes in the cloth where they stick light, so it gives you the starry effect on stage, you know? So there's always a contrast between utter blackness and flashes of light.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really contrasting place to be. But I also imagine blackness to be like your inside mind. I don't know if you've got a colour of your inside mind. So, for instance, I spend most of my time now working in audio and making radio shows. That's with BBC Radio 2 on the Blue Show on Monday, and then I've got 6 and had a playlist on Radio 4. When you're talking with a microphone in front of you, I cease to see. I feel that way anyway. I'm not sure if you're the same. Because you exist within in your mind, and to me, all the communication with everybody that's hopefully listening and what they're saying back to you and how they might be processing the music you're playing or your conversation with your guests, all happens within this blackness. It's a beautiful black, you know, it's this it's like space, I suppose.
But I completely get what you're saying, that blackness, that kind of sort
it's
of...
quite a refreshing
blackness. But it's not a negative thing. It's not a negative plane or space, is
it? It's refreshing.
Yeah.
And I think the closest...
It's a clarity.
Yeah, I guess so. And it's an emptiness, I think, more than anything for me. And but it's warm, and so that's why the pitch black, I think it's the closest one I'm thinking is Farrow and Board. Would you agree?
It's our purest...
Pitch black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I spoke to a person the other week saying, oh, I'm kind of thinking of painting my bedroom black.
Mm.
Is that too much? I went, no, it's really, really, really beautiful. Especially if you contrast it. You know, you've got these gorgeous, slightly unbleached linen curtains in here.
Yeah.
You can imagine a lovely black wall with those linen curtains would be incredibly calming and restful.
The best thing about dark, rich colours is that they make any of your items that you've collected over the years pop. And if there's any wood in your house or any sort of natural stones or anything, that's what I love about colour.
It registers really nicely. And artwork as well on black walls. You go to galleries and everybody kind of go, oh, white walls.
No.
The darker the wall, the better. Honestly, I love dark walls and art.
Especially the old, old antique paintings. Yeah. I love them.
Yeah. So my best friend forever... Karen.
I love this. I love this.
It's just getting, I'm just falling more and more in
love.
Do
we fall
out
as quickly as we fall in love?
No! We're never going, this is a life thing.
I love it.
So we're moving on to where you are now and the colour of where you are. Was that another easy choice?
This is a choice I thank you for, actually, Paddy. This is like sludge. This is a colour of sludge, right? And is this me trying to sort of stop time and go back to becoming an amoeba or something, a monocellular animal, and reverse all the rubbish that's been going on? I don't know, but I do love some sludge colour. And the reason Pantalon, you came up on my feed one day and you were talking about this colour, and I was like, oh my God, that is my colour right there. And I hit follow, you know, and then this that's how I know what you do, you know, and I've been following your colour stuff since then. But you put a name to it. The thing about Pantalon, if you put that on your walls and against all my antique furniture, to me, yet again, it is just like turning back the clock. It's something so primal and so comforting and historic that it's like... a balance.
Yeah, I mean, just trying to think for the listeners how to describe it. Essentially, it's a really dark brown, but there's this underlying green through it. So there is slight sludge, slightly khaki quality to it.
You called it cowpat, I think, didn't you?
I do call it cowpat, but I don't think that's a really great sales pitch for a lot of us. Oh, no, you must use that. It's cowpat brown. It's really delicious. And they'd be like, what? Get out of the room.
It's going to sound very pretentious now. Look out. If you were to walk into this old wood somewhere in France, North France somewhere, and get lost, and then find this stone building and open it, and you imagine the creaking hinges, and you walk in, you smell the dust, and you smell maybe a bit of dried lavender or something. That place with the thing that you chop your bread on, what do you call those things?
The breadboard.
The breadboard still there, and the old knife forged still there. On the wall would be this colour. This dark earth brown colour, and that to me is just like, oh man, that sounds ideal.
It is a really beautiful colour of nature, isn't it? At the darker end, so you've obviously got all the lovely soft stone colours, which you've got here, actually. But it is... I will convert... One day I will convert people. I'm glad I've converted one person, and one person was listening to me. Thank you very much.
Why do you like it? What does it sing to you?
I find it incredibly relaxing. I think, it just for me, it's... It's more than, you know, so greens are obviously the ultimate kind of colour for relaxation and calm and everything. I find it unbelievably gentle.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, it works with everything. So whether your aesthetic is modern furniture, you've got lovely kind of Danish stuff, it'll look really nice with it. If you've got really modern kind of pale woods, it would look really nice. If you've got old brown furniture, it will look really nice. If you've got frames, you know, quite modern art in black frames or white frames, it would look really smart and really clean. If you've got antique pictures in gilt frames, it would look really beautiful. I think those dark browns are really forgiving, and you can throw anything at dark brown. They'll work with nearly every colour family you throw at it.
The thing is with Pantalon, right, is functionality as well. It just seems to... There's nothing shallow. There's nothing... aesthetic or showy-offy or Swarovski crystal about Pantalon.
No.
It is the opposite end of the spectrum. There's nothing plastic about it. There's nothing shimmery or pink or anything. It's so on the other... It's just pure, utter function to me, or existence, you know?
You mentioned moss earlier, and is that kind of all those things of moss and lichen on stonework and everything? It's that kind of patina of age, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it feels really mud. Settled. Mud, yeah, elemental,
yeah,
which is really beautiful. Yeah, it's a great, great color. So where are you now with all that association? Is this going back to nature? Is this where you want, is this where you feel more comfortable at the moment?
I think so. It's to try and get a little bit of calm so you can face the storm, basically. Yeah. So all we can do is just jump in the river, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that. I've already been in once, getting here.
Oh my God, Karis, I am.
So
nervous.
Your time has come. So this is where I gift you a colour.
So how do you go through the process of trying to think, oh, what colour can I give someone? I mean, that's like trying to, that turns you into some kind of witch, doesn't it?
Some people might have that viewpoint of me. I do think about it. I'm not just randomly with my eyes shut pointing at the colour code. And obviously we all know you from your musical angle and your broadcasting and everything. But you know, there are other things that you do. Karis is also vice president for Shelter, for those that aren't aware of Shelter outside of the UK. It's supported people for homeless people, isn't it?
And people that have trouble with rent.
And you're president of the Welsh Countryside Charity and also patron of the Dylan Thomas Society.
Yeah.
You're a busy woman, aren't you?
Well, actually, they're busy and I support them.
Okay, fair enough. All right. So it's based on all of those things. And also, I'm sure I've read somewhere about your family relationship with Pembrokeshire.
Yes.
And because you've chosen quite a lot of dark colours... Because you're such a cheery wench.
I like dark colours.
I know you do. I
don't think dark colours are down. No, I think dark colours are just...
You've given all positive messages about all those dark colours. I'm giving you a colour, and we're calling it Pembroke Green.
Ooh.
It's actually a colour of ours called Yeabridge Green, and it's a really delicious, fresh, verdant green. And it's the colour of Welsh fields, you know, in the prime of spring with lambs bobbing on them. It's those beautiful sort of verdant beech tree valleys in North Wales. So it's kind of part of your countryside thing, taking you back to Pembrokeshire. There's this lovely optimism to it. It's a really joyful spring green.
Let me see it.
So I'm just passing you over your sample pot with your own label on.
Okay, let me see it. Ooh, adore of this colour. That would be nice. Eyeshadow.
Eyeshadow. Yeah, lip is a bit too much, isn't it? That takes me back to my mother. She'd wear an eyeshadow like that in the 70s. I'm not saying you have to use it anywhere at all, but it's a really... It's more about the optimism and your association with
it,
the countryside.
Thank you very much.
And Wales,
very
to
much.
Me, is a country of huge beauty. You are massively passionate about your motherland.
I was quite lucky because it was full of poetry and song, so... Jammy, really. Thank you so much, because this is actually pushing me right out of my comfort zone. Although I love my natural colours, and this is a natural colour, it does err on the bluer green, brighter green. So this is quite interesting. But, Paddy, you're an expert, and I'm going to let it sit.
You trust me.
Maybe a little bit.
Okay. I just wanted
I like
to push
opinion.
You. Yeah, I just wanted to give you a little bit of vibrancy.
I would like it as an eyeshadow, though. I'm serious.
Would you?
More than a wall colour.
Right, okay, well, maybe Keras green eyeshadow.
No, it's a beautiful colour. In fact, it reminds me a bit of, like, you know, milking stools when people paint them. That would be a lovely colour, milking stool. I like it. Yay for yay bridge green.
I love it, and I'm passing it on to you, so you're inheriting my love for the green.
I have enjoyed talking about your love of colour, and thank you for coming. Because it's really lovely how colours and thinking of colours remind you of particular moments in life.
I've had so much fun today, and I was so excited about meeting you. You're a little bit of a hero of mine. So thank you, Keras.
Oh,
it's been such a
pleasure.
Huge treat. For all of you listening, you can find Keras at Keras6Music on Instagram. And if you've got access to BBC Sounds, you've got to tune in because she is bloody brilliant. You can also follow us at Farrow and Ball. Come and find me. I'd love to hear what you thought of today's episode. And actually, I don't care what you think because I absolutely loved every minute of it. And if you've enjoyed this conversation, please do spread the word. My guest next week is the fashion designer Christopher John Rogers. The Crimologist is a Farrow and Ball and Feast Collective production. The producer is Sarah Cudden. Until the next one, goodbye and big hugs.
Black! Black!
Crow black, slow black. We're just about to get back on the boat and wish me luck.
Just keep breathing.
I'm fine. Take care. Be good.